Well, we're coming tonight to the last Fear Not. I think we've looked at 7 already. Might be wrong. I think it's 7. But this is the 8th and the final one we're going to look at tonight. Now, there's so many more that we could have spoken about. I think there's 63 Fear Nots in total. 63. But let's come to Acts 27. Acts chapter 27. And one final time, let's consider this lovely phrase that brings comfort to the heart of a Christian. Fear not. Acts 27. And we find here the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome. And he's on the ship. And he gets caught up in a storm. Christians often find themselves in storms. I was just thinking there about Robert Maxwell, and today we were up in Dungannon having a prayer meeting, a minister's prayer meeting for Robert. And you know, Robert's in a storm. Now, he was in a storm even before the postponement. You might not have heard that the operation has been postponed again. He was supposed to go tomorrow for an operation, but it's been put back. So you can imagine how frustrating that must be. And it's not the first time that it's been put back. So Robert's in a storm. I was just thinking about those in hospital tonight. Margaret Hamilton, that's where it was actually just before the meeting. Down with Margaret there in the Waterside Hospital. Margaret has come through a storm. Think of others tonight who are in hospital. Think of our loved ones tonight, maybe relatives of yours that are going through sickness and illness, depression, anxiety, trials and troubles. They're going through storms. Maybe you're going through a storm tonight. You know, Christians are often in the midst of a storm. And we find here the Apostle Paul is in the storm. Verse 15 of Acts 27. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. We'll end there at verse 25. We know the Lord will bless this short passage to our hearts this evening. I want us to think about verse 24. Verse 24, the message, the words of the angel. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know, this was a great comfort to Paul. These words were a great comfort to Paul. Paul was in the storm. He was in the midst of this great storm there in the Mediterranean Sea. And it tells us there at the end of verse 20, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. As far as they were concerned, the ship was going to be destroyed and they were all going to be drowned. Paul was in a very difficult situation here. It was a terrible tempest. You know, earlier I mentioned about different people who are in the storm, different people who are in the tempest of life. But you know, the person who went through the greatest tempest of all, the greatest storm of all, our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he came into this world, he entered a storm. Now I know that at Calvary, the storm broke upon him in its ferocity, its worst, but even from his first breath in Bethlehem's manger, he was experiencing a storm. Because as soon as he was born, Herod the Great was after him. And Herod wanted to slaughter him. Herod wanted to destroy him. And for 33 and a half years, he braved the storm for you and for me. And of course, whenever he came to Calvary, when it came to the day whenever he was lifted up between heaven and earth, oh, what a storm broke upon him. You know, the hymn writer put it like this: he braved the storm for me. His form was marred, his visage was scarred, now cloudless peace for me. Because the Lord Jesus Christ braved the storm of God's wrath, we don't have to go through that storm. We don't have to go through the storm of God's judgment. We will never experience God's judgment. We'll never taste God's wrath because the Lord Jesus Christ has braved the storm for us. And he was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief for 33 and a half years. That was a long storm to go through, wasn't it? But you're the fruit of that storm tonight. You're the result of that storm. I'm the result of that storm because we're in a prayer meeting. If it hadn't been for the Christ of Calvary, if it hadn't been for the Christ of the cross, we wouldn't be in a prayer meeting tonight. We would be far away from God. Praise God, he braved the storm for us. You know, whenever we think about this text of scripture in Acts 27, we need to think first of all about the captive. The captive. Because Paul started out on this journey as a captive. We read in there in verse 23, Paul's words. He said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Paul was a captive on board the ship. He was being taken to Rome to stand before Caesar. But on the journey, in the midst of the storm, God sends a messenger to him, the angel. And the angel appears to Paul, to the captive, and he brings this lovely message of encouragement to Paul. Now, Paul doesn't fall down before the angel and start to worship the angel. Paul doesn't get taken up with the angel, and he doesn't go around telling everybody else in the ship, "Oh, an angel appeared to me, an angel appeared to me." You know, you get people today, and they're all into these apparitions, and, you know, they'll talk about angels. But, you know, the important issue here isn't that the angel appeared to Paul. That's not the big issue. The importance here lies in the message that the angel communicated. And we'll come on to that in a moment or two. But let's remember something about angels. I believe that angels appear as normal people. We sometimes have the impression that angels have wings. You know, like the angels that you see in a children's storybook, the Bible storybook. You know, the wee angel, the wee lady angel fluttering her wings. And I don't believe that that's what the Bible teaches about angels. You see, in Hebrews chapter 13, it tells us there that we can entertain angels unawares. It's possible to entertain angels unawares. You know, it's possible to see someone, to meet someone, and not even to know that they're an angel. They look just like an ordinary human being, but they're actually an angel, a messenger sent from the Lord. And I believe that that's the situation here in Acts chapter 27. I believe the Lord sends one of his angels, and I believe that this angel doesn't look extraordinary. He doesn't have a halo. I don't believe there's anything frightening about this angel or anything strange about this angel. But this angel comes with a message from the Lord. So there's the captive, Paul the captive. But we need to think not only about the captive, we need to think about the caption. The caption. What does the verse actually tell us? What does the text tell us? In verse 24, the angel says, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." My, what a verse. What a text. What a caption. This is the message of encouragement for Paul in the midst of the storm. Now put yourself in Paul's shoes. Paul's in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. He's caught up in the midst of a storm. He's been in this storm for a number of days. There's been no stars, no daylight. It's been darkness for these days. And there you have Paul, no doubt the ship has been tossed to and fro, and the cargo is being thrown in every direction, and there's no doubt sickness, and people have lost their appetite, and all hope is gone. You know, Paul has hit rock bottom. The other people on the ship have hit rock bottom. As far as they can see, they can't go any lower. Then the message comes to Paul. Fear not, Paul. It's a very personal message. The angel didn't just say, "Fear not." He says, "Fear not, Paul." That tells me that the angel, but more importantly, the Lord, knew exactly where Paul was. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew that his servant was in the midst of a storm. And the Lord was concerned for his child, and the Lord cared for his child. Now, it's the same for you and me this evening. Because maybe in your life, there's a situation, and as far as you're concerned, it can't get any worse. Wonder is that true tonight? I don't know. But maybe that's what you say tonight. Maybe in your heart of hearts, that's how you feel. Lord, can things get any worse? You have come to your lowest point. Well, the Lord comes to you tonight to tell you that he cares for you. And you know, the Lord cared for all the people on the ship. There was actually 276 people on the ship, we're told later on in the chapter. And the Lord cared for every one of them. But he cares for us tonight. And we need to always remember that. As Christians, let's always remember that God cares for us. Never forget the text behind me. My, what a lovely text that we have here. You know, and every Thursday night we come in, we can look up here see this text. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you know what that word care means? Literally, it means to take something and to tear it, to be torn, torn to pieces, to be torn in every direction, to be pulled to pieces. Casting all your care upon him, all your anxiety and all your problems, and tonight maybe you feel as if you're being torn to pieces. Maybe you feel that you're being pulled to pieces. Well, that's actually what that word tear means in this text. That tear that God wants you to cast upon him tonight, that's exactly what it means. Just feeling as if you're being pulled to pieces. But God says, cast that care on me. Cast your burden on the Lord. See, the Lord cares for us. The hymn writer said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And we find this wonderful message comes to Paul. Fear not, Paul. There's not only the captive and the caption. We need to think tonight about the captor. The captor. Who was the captor? In other words, who was it that instigated Paul's journey to Rome? Who was behind it? Well, he's mentioned there in verse 24 in our text. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Caesar. Who was Caesar? Well, he was the Roman emperor. But who was he? He was Nero. Nero. Nero was one of the worst Roman emperors ever. He persecuted believers. He lived a life of immorality. He lived a life of wickedness and vileness. This was the man that Paul was going to stand before. And you know, naturally speaking, Paul would have been afraid. Lord, how am I going to stand before this man? How am I going to stand before Nero, this man who has put Christians up on poles in his royal gardens and has covered them in tar, covered them in pitch, and then set them alight and burned them to death? How am I going to stand before a man who does this for fun? How am I going to stand before this man who just does this for sport? So naturally speaking, left to himself, Paul would have been afraid. And the Lord knows that Paul's liable to be afraid. So the Lord sends the message, fear not. Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. My sovereignty is going to ensure that you will stand before Caesar. You must stand before Caesar because I want you to witness to him. I want you to give him one last opportunity to repent and be saved, Paul. And Paul, you don't have to be afraid because I'm going to stand with you. I'll be with you when you are brought before Caesar. You know, whoever we have to stand before, whoever we have to meet, whatever situation we have to meet in life, the message of the Lord is, fear not. You know, sometimes you'll have to meet people, you will have to encounter people who are intimidating. Have you ever met a person like that? Somebody who's intimidating. Somebody who despises you and kind of looks down their nose at you. And they maybe wouldn't say hello to you or shake their hand. Or, you know, they have nothing but contempt for you. Sometimes you can even find it in your family circles. Your own nearest and dearest, boy, you're saved and you're standing for the Lord. But that other loved one, they have no time for Christ. And as far as they're concerned, they don't want anything to do with your Christ or his gospel. Yes, they can be intimidating. But you see, no matter who we have to meet or encounter the Lord, he brings this lovely message of encouragement to us. Fear not. You know, the Lord told the prophet Jeremiah Remember what he said in the first chapter of Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. That's a lovely phrase, isn't it? Be not afraid of their faces. You know, some people's faces are like thunder, isn't that right? You meet people, boy, their faces are like thunder, full of rage, full of madness. There's a few people last Saturday night in the open air, and if looks could have killed, I'd be dead. Fear not, Paul. Fear not. Don't fear the captor. This boy sees her, he thinks he's in control. But I'm in control. Now, finally, we'll think tonight about the captain. We thought about the captive and the captor and the caption. But let's think about the captain. The captain is the same person as the captive. Who was the captive at the very start that we mentioned? Paul. Paul started out this journey as the captive, but you know what? By the end of the journey, he was the captain. He turned into the captain because at the very end of this journey, here in Acts 27, we read that Paul had taken control of the situation. And the captain and the other crew members, well, no doubt they were at their wits' end, but you see, Paul was in touch with God, and God was telling Paul and guiding Paul about what he should do. Here was a situation that demanded leadership. And God gave his servant the leadership that was necessary. You know, whenever we think of Paul here, surely we think of our Savior. Let me explain what I mean. The only reason that the 276 people on board that ship survived was because Paul was on board. That's the only reason. It was for their sake. It was for Paul's sake, rather, that they survived. You see, Paul was a child of God. He was washed in the blood. And God had a purpose for him. And Paul's work wasn't done. Now, the devil would love to have taken him to the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. Just like the devil would have loved to have taken Jesus Christ to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee whenever the storm whipped up. That was the devil's plan. That was the devil's desire. But you see, old John Wesley said, I am immortal till my work is done. I am immortal till my work is done. The enemy can't kill you while there's work still to be done. And that's the situation here in Acts 27. Paul's work wasn't done, and God was preserving his servant and bringing him safely through the storm so that he could finish the work and stand before Caesar. And then you see, Paul was able to say, I am now ready to be offered, and the day of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearing. Then the work was done, but you see, here in the storm in Acts 27, the work still wasn't done. And God was preserving his child. Remember Psalm 121, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, the traveler's psalm. Well, that psalm could be applied to Paul. And it was for Paul's sake that God spared everyone on the ship. But I said that Paul reminds us of Christ. You see, the reason why we have been spared the wrath of God, the reason why we have not been judged for our sins, is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Paul's Savior, we have been spared. But mind you, I want you to notice this. God spared not his own Son. The Lord Jesus wasn't spared. For in Romans chapter 8, we read those great words, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. You and I have been spared, not only physically, literally, as far as our lives are concerned, so that we can meet here tonight for this prayer meeting, but we have been spared spiritually. God has taken away his wrath, his anger, but he poured it out on Christ. The Lord Jesus endured the greatest of all storms, the worst of all storms. And you see, that's the reason why you and I can make it through the storms of the Christian life. You know, William Cooper, he penned the great words, God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Another hymn writer put it like this, the winds and the waves shall obey thy will, peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. You do know that the Lord Jesus Christ was on board this ship. Maybe you say, what's your heart? Where do you get that from? We don't read that Jesus was on board this ship here in Acts 27. Well, think about this. Paul was on board. And think about the verse in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if Paul was on board and Christ was in Paul, then Christ was on the ship. No water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. I often hear you good people pray, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Well, turn please to another hymn just before we get down to prayer. If you turn please to 517. Number 517. This is a hymn that speaks about the tempest and the storm. When upon life's billows your tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. We'll move to verse 4. Let's just go over the page, and we'll sing the last verse and the chorus, please, of 517, keeping your seats. 517.